This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 5th, 2020. The Memorial of the Basilica of St. Mary Major by Father William Doc Holliday.
I saw a new Jerusalem prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast day in remembrance of the erection of the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome, also known as the Day of Our Lady of the Snows, because it was given to a rich couple who had no children who were going to give their money to the church to build a church. And the Blessed Mother came to them and said she wanted a basilica built in her honor in a particular place. And in the middle of August in Rome, it snowed. And the snow would stay there, and they went and they spoke to the Pope about this back in the day when you could go speak to the Pope about things. It's a long time ago. And he said that he had had the same dream, that the snows would cover a place where there was going to be a church built to our Blessed Mother. And the rest is history. And the Church of St. Mary Major still stands to this day. Although throughout history it has crumbled once or twice and been rebuilt, it is still there. Our Blessed Mother's desires fulfilled by her people. When we look at the veneration that we give, even church buildings, we have to understand, as foreign as that is to some people, particularly those who are not Catholic, and we make such a big deal about certain churches, we have to understand that it doesn't have to do with the building per se, but the one in whose honor it was erected, and also what the church represents. Not just St. Mary Major, not just St. Peter's, but also every Catholic church in which our Lord Jesus Christ is reposed in the sacrament of the altar. Every place where Jesus is present on the face of this planet should be venerated because of him and what it represents, us being part of him. This is the whole idea of church. I always point out that when we look at churches, we have to understand and appreciate the fact that every single church that we see, no matter how humble or how opulent, every single church we see is an example of us being part of the body of Christ. Every time we look at a church building, we should think about the stones that keep it standing. Those stones are us. We are the living stones that make the church of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world. We are the living stones, but we are laid on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. The chief cornerstone of this church is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. When we look at that, and you get that in the forefront of your mind, every time you see a church, that kind of thought should go through your mind. It is not a common practice anymore, but it was historically that every time you passed a church, you did some kind of obeisance to that church. You know, I don't want any show of hands, and I don't want you to feel bad about it if you don't do it, but we have to appreciate the fact that historically, and we should, every time we pass a Catholic church, doesn't matter if you don't like the architecture, which happens to me constantly, doesn't matter what you think about it, it is who resides there, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we do obeisance. You know, a sign of the cross is a good thing to do as you pass a church because it gets us thinking about what the church represents, us being part of it, the foundation and that chief cornerstone. So when we pass a church, we do a sign of the cross. It's a good thing. A sign of the cross, a prayer. Veneration for our Lord being in that place. We adore thee, Lord Jesus Christ, here in all the churches throughout the world, for by thy holy cross thou hast redeemed the world. These kind of ejaculatory prayers, when you pass by a church, do wonders in meritorious actions for you, because it lets our Lord know that it's just not a matter of going to church on Sundays. It's a matter of being pervasive in our understanding of how widespread he is throughout the world. Every single Catholic church, there is our Lord Jesus Christ. Generally speaking, our Lord Jesus Christ is reposed in that place. This is why we venerate them. This whole idea of us being living stones in that body, being part of this thing that is the Catholic Church. That Catholic Church that is manifest primarily in two ways: the Church militant and the Church triumphant. That Church that is in this world and that Church that has the beatific vision. And of course, there is that Church suffering, but that Church is suffering because they are going to be part of the Church triumphant. So when we understand that and we appreciate that, it gives us a practical sense of being, a practical sense of who we are as living stones in the body of Christ. I mean, that terminology in and of itself, the body of Christ, it's like hearing the words grace and forgiveness and mercy. We hear them so often, I think we lose sight of the fact of what actually it is to be a part of the body of Christ. For one thing, we have to appreciate the fact that Christ is the head. All right. The scriptures that speak of this being the body of Christ, Ephesians, for instance, St. Paul, he doesn't speak of in the future when everybody dies and everything is consummated, then there will be, you know, the body of Christ and Christ as its head, as if there is some kind of a situation right now where we are part of the body down here and he is the head decapitated in heaven. No. This is why we are an integral part of the living body of Christ. You are in this place. His eyes, mouth, ears, hands, feet. You are what works for Christ in this world, because he is in heaven making intercession for us, strengthening us by the power of his Holy Spirit to do these things that practically manifest himself, just as all church buildings do. All church buildings, it is so interesting to see historically how that whenever it was a church built, it was always erected in a place that was front and center. Front and center on a high point. It was on a hill. Hope, preferably the highest hill. And you know what? If there weren't any hills around, the church was built to a point where it doesn't matter where you were in the city, you could just look around the skyline and you would see the steeple of the Catholic Church. Catholics knew where they belonged in that city. That has always been a manifestation of God calling us to himself. Historically, the Angelus bell that rang at 6 in the morning and noon and 6 at night, a tremendous move of people, Catholic. It didn't matter if you were in the church or not. You heard the bell, you stopped. You said the Angelus. It engaged in a real sense this understanding of being part of the body of Christ, this integral part of this body that our Lord speaks of in John chapter 15 when he talks about the vine and the branches. He talks about the integral living union that we are with the body of Christ. Not even, because I mean, you can even lose it on the stones. No, he didn't just say stones. Because stones could be, I'm just part of this wall. You're not part, you're a living stone. You're an integral part of the whole. Different stones in different places, doing different things, different load bearing here and there, different sizes of stone, but stones nonetheless. That's us in the church. This is why we venerate so this thing that is, that are these buildings in this world. Yes, if you lose sight of being part of the body of Christ, they are nothing, just a building. That's not what they are. That's not what they are, because Jesus Christ is in them. This is where his people, the living stones, come together and worship him. This is the understanding that we should have of being part of the Catholic Church. It is a profound title, the Church. There is only one. It is Christ's. He established it. This is what we have to understand when, particularly when we look at these special places, St. Peter's, St. Mary Major, all these places that people endeavor to pilgrim toward. Went to Rome in 2012 on a pilgrimage, and it was so glorious to go to these places that I heard and read about, places that are venerated even on holy days in the church, such as today. To go there, it makes you feel so special. And it's not wrong to feel special. It is not wrong to feel special as being a Catholic. It's not wrong to feel special when you walk into a Catholic church. It should be special. It should look special. The things that go on in there should look different than they are on the outside because of what it is. Not a building, but a living portion of the body of Jesus Christ in this world. This should be the catalyst for a tremendous amount of respect for and veneration of not just St. Mary Major, not just St. Peter's, not just St. John Lateran, but all churches. Again, no matter how humble they may be, because the humblest of abodes for our Lord Jesus Christ in this world is no different than St. Peter's in that respect. No difference whatsoever, because as I always point out, church buildings exist to keep our Lord Jesus Christ secure and dry. First and foremost, that's what they are there for. We understand who's there. It should be overwhelming that we can be any part of it whatsoever. We just don't have some obelisk somewhere that reminds us of God and we bend the knee to it or look toward that place, no matter where we are in the world, face that direction. That's not what it's about. For us, it is being part of the body of Christ. This is going to culminate when, in the book of Revelation, it speaks that in this time when this new heaven, this new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, that there will be no temple there. There's not going to be church buildings at the end. Jesus isn't going to come back and build like the, you know, we're just going to have one mega huge awesome church that everybody's going to go there. And there's going to be no temple because Jesus Christ will dwell with us. He is the temple. He is the temple. He is the church. We've got to change our definitions of what we believe at the church. Oh, a building now. Now, but we are in, if we're approaching it correctly, in a position where we're in that already, not yet. Yes, in the future, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there will be no buildings. He is the temple thereof. There is going to be no sun. He is the light thereof. We have to appreciate that when we see that eventually, if we maintain a life of faith and obedience, that we got a foretaste of it here. We got a foretaste of it is as we were members of the church militant. That word is not used sparingly. It is not used easily. We are militant. We are supposed to be advancing the kingdom of Christ. We are supposed to be putting ourselves in a position where we make more and more church buildings where our Lord Jesus Christ can be reposed. This is our duty in this world, because that advances the kingdom of Christ in a very real way, not just talking, but actually living this faith. So, again, today, these days, we venerate the dedication of churches, but it should elicit from within us a respect for every time we pass a Catholic church, to cast our eyes upon it and do obeisance to that church, not because of the building, but because of the one who resides there. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.